You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know something? Monday mornings are always special because it's following NBA games or NFL news. My boy Shay Shay in the house with me. I see the pink player. You know where that came from, Shannon. That's you seeing me Saturday night rocking the hot pink. You tried to emulate it, didn't you? You tried to, didn't you? Tell the truth. Tell the truth, Shannon. Tell the truth.
It's Salvin. I got Salvin.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
We'll go with that. But now I put on my political look this morning because I'm in that kind of spirit. I'm Stephen A. Smith, and I approve this message. First Takes and Hats. Let's go.
Good day. Welcome into First Take on a Monday. Hope you all had a fabulous weekend. The Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe, the one and only Stephen A. Smith. I'm Molly Caron. Gentlemen.
He got a new cut. He got the
snap. You're late.
Blazer.
You're late, Molly. Green was yesterday, March 17th, Sunday.
St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. All right. So he the fashion group.
No celebration.
You early for next year, though. Good job, Molly. You're early for next year.
You're hilarious. It's so great to see you, Shannon.
Thank you, Molly. We missed you.
My goodness. All right, guys. We're all over the brackets, both the men's and women's. Shannon, did you see where UConn is? What seed they had? Did you check that out?
Number one.
Did North Carolina get a number one seed? Yes or no?
I was just wondering if you saw where UConn was, but that's cool.
Yeah, you're number one seed overall.
Yeah. Right. And Stephen A., what's going on with your Steelers?
I'm very, very happy. Let's talk about that.
All right,
Shannon.
Let's get
let's
into that.
That
because the Steelers are making money moves. So here's the deal. The Bears on Saturday agreed to trade quarterback Justin Fields to the Steelers in exchange for a 2025 sixth round draft pick that could become a fourth round selection based on playing time. Pending field passing his physical, Fields spent his first three NFL seasons with the Bears, completing 60% of his passes with an 82.3 pass rating. Russell Wilson took to social media to welcome Justin Fields to Pittsburgh, noting that their quarterback room is about to be lit. Wilson and Fields will be vying for the Steelers' starting QB position in 2024. The two have similar numbers over the last two seasons, with a 35-year-old Wilson having a slight edge on his 25-year-old counterpart in total TDs, completion percentage, in yards per attempt. All right, SA. The drama, it's on in the Steel City. So do you feel like a quarterback controversy is just inevitable?
Well, it's inevitable because I don't think that there's much separation between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. I have no problem with Russell Wilson starting the season. You're giving a veteran, a Super Bowl champion, a nine-time Pro Bowler the nod to start off the season. And after all, he's the one you acquired in free agency, albeit for just $1.2 million, Shannon. When I'm looking at Justin Fields, I'm saying, okay, you improved last year based off of what we saw the previous 2 years you were in the league, but you're still 10-28 as a starter. You only completed about 61% of your passes. 16 touchdowns and 9 interceptions on the entire season isn't a lot to write home about, particularly if you're now moving to a team that threw 25 touchdowns passes over two seasons, for crying out loud. Clearly there needs to be some upgrade. We get all of that. I think that Justin Fields, with his athleticism, his mobility, his ability to run with the football and extend plays with his legs and what have you, I think that's a huge plus for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously his youth, he's only 25 years of age. I think that comes into play as well, and it is clear for the moment anyway that Justin Fields is the future. Next season, however, starting game one, you want that veteran. You want a guy with Russell Wilson. And let's see what he does. And if he performs well, he'll keep the job for that one season he's in Pittsburgh. Obviously giving Justin Fields time to even learn from a veteran and to be in a much better situation than he was in Chicago. But there's nothing wrong with Russell Wilson starting the season, and there's no guarantee that he's gonna finish game one of the regular season, Shannon, let alone finish the season as the starter. So I got no problems with it whatsoever. You could call it a quarterback controversy if you want to. As far as I'm concerned, it's a significant upgrade. I am a very happy man. Going as Kenny Pickett.
Which one's
going as Mason Rudolph.
Which one's a
going as Mitchell
upgrade.
Trubisky. For Wilson and Justin Fields, I'm very happy.
So I didn't know if you felt like one more than the other was a significant upgrade or
both.
Equally.
Okay. Both. All, both of them. I mean, it's a beautiful day in the Steel City, Shannon. It's a beautiful day.
Shannon, they tell me if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. What do you think about this?
Well, I disagree with that. I think what they were able to do was upgrade their quarterback locker room, and it only cost them $1.2 million and a sixth-round draft pick. So you can't beat that. Both of those quarterbacks, B-O-A-L, both of those quarterbacks are better than anything they had in the previous quarterback locker room. But I agree with you, Stephen A. Russell Wilson is the quarterback as long as he plays well. I know what they maybe have promised Russ. Russ, this is your job. But my grandfather used to say all the time, promises are like pie crust, thin and easily broken. If you do not play well, Justin Fields is going to come in. And if I'm Justin Fields, I don't care what they told me. I'm coming in and I'm trying to compete and I'm trying to get better every single day. Because look at last year, they had the 25th ranked strength of schedule. This year is third. They won 10 games last year. The expectations are, if we got better quarterbacks, our record should be indicative of the better quarterback play. That's not necessarily true. So there's going to be pressure on Russ to play well every single game, knowing that probably the quarterback of the future, because we believe we got our quarterback this year, and we got a 25-year-old quarterback that's on our roster that learns from a veteran quarterback that goes about his business that can help him learn the ropes. So I love this move for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They didn't give up a whole lot. Chicago, you should have moved on from Justin Fields last year at the trade deadline because that's when his value was at the highest. But you let all this quarterback carousel, you let it get filled, and you had to got a sixth-round pick for Justin Fields. But, yes, it's inevitable that this is going to happen, because do you believe Russ, based on what you've seen over the last 2 to 3 years, can play consistent football throughout the course of the season?
Okay, that's where I want to go right now.
Justin Fields off.
But before we go there, a couple of things I want to point out. Number one, five quarterbacks drafted in the 2021 NFL draft. The only one left with their original team is Trevor Lawrence. Everybody else has been moved. So let's get that out the way first. Secondly, that sixth-round pick that they traded for Justin Fields, it can be converted to a fourth-round pick if he gets 51% of the snaps or more. So we got to take that into consideration as well. Having said all of that, I just want to say this. Russell Wilson could play, Shannon, like he played last year in Denver. He could sit up there and play the exact same way, and it would still be damn heaven compared to what we've been watching the last two years. And that's what. And then not only that, now he got Pickens to throw the football to. He got Freiermuth to throw the football to. He got running backs and Harris and that kid Warren.
Jalen Warren.
To run the football, right? Warren's a bad brother. Now the brother can play. I'm looking at all of that. I'm like, I'm very, very happy.
Okay, it all sounds great on paper, but what's the Steelers ceiling this season? Like, what are we trying to do here?
Shannon, I'm going to sit up there and say a divisional playoff. I'm not going to get too happy about the AFC Championship, but could the Steelers
divisional
get to the playoffs
round?
And win a playoff game? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. I believe they can. With that defense?
You know what division they're in. I just want to be clear.
I get
you're
that.
Aware of how good,
Shannon,
how good the AFC North is.
Don't look at me like that, Shannon. Don't you look at me like that.
Shannon.
You don't
Shannon, the AFC, it's like
me,
arguably one of the best divisions in football. I just want to make sure that he's aware of that. Like, you know the other quarterbacks.
Really?
You realize Deshaun Watson was hurt. And you saw what Cleveland did with Joe Flacco. Like, do you need me to go through the rest of them?
Why St. Patrick's got to do me like that, Shannon?
Nick,
Watson. I know who's in the division.
And I just want to temper your expectations, because it was so sad when you were out there with the Knicks and your pom-poms and you remember what happened that time, and I just don't want to see you heartbroken again, you know?
Go ahead, Shannon.
At best case scenario, where do you think Russell ranks in the quarterback division? So if you say he's fourth behind Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson.
I'll concede
They won 10 games last year. So you know what the expectations, because you and others have said this is a substantial quarterback upgrade in that room, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, compared to what they have. Okay. So if they do not win more, let's just say they don't win. Let's just say they still make the playoffs.
Another 10. Another 10 wins.
10 wins. They won 10 last year.
That's what I'm saying. Ain't nothing wrong with going to another 10 wins. As long as they get in. As long as they get in, Shannon.
Okay.
Bengals can't be choosy.
Right.
Get in the playoffs, win one of them damn games, and we good.
So you got them getting into the playoffs and winning a wild card game.
Yes. That's what I'm predicting. Because remember, the defense look. Listen, man, if you can win 10 games with them damn three quarterbacks, you can damn sure do it again and possibly win a playoff game this go round. Let's hope T.J. Watt is healthy. Let's hope Fitzpatrick is up in there. You got Queen up in there now. All right, defensively, I expect them to be every bit as good as they were last season. They're going to upgrade at the cornerback spot, get somebody opposite Joey Porter Jr. that could play corner for you. I think that's going to work out well. And offensively, you finally got a quarterback that's a quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's great anymore compared to some of the great ones out there, but they didn't have anything yet, man. That's my point. They got something.
And the one thing we know about the Pittsburgh Steelers, they can find wide receivers in the draft. Nobody drafts wide receivers like the Pittsburgh
Steelers.
Better
than the Steelers.
If you go back and since Mike Tomlin has been there, they've gotten wide receivers out the yin-yang. So that's the least of my concerns. My only concern is can Russ get back to being Russ? Can he play? And I'm not saying Russ year six, Russ.
Yeah.
Can he get back to, say, maybe his last couple of years in Seattle? Because, look, his first year in Denver, we know that wasn't very good. He played better, but a lot of that came up in mop-up duty when they were losing ball game. Now, if he can get back to where he was, say, the last couple of years in Seattle, Stephen A., you might be on to something.
Oh, how about this one,
is
Shannon?
I
think Shannon missed something. Hold on. I think Shay missed something here. What about that five-game winning streak he went on after they told him they wanted him to take, to modify his salary or whatever it was with his contractual situation.
Yeah.
They wanted him to address that. Then he went and won five straight, knowing that he wasn't part of the future.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think he thought he was going to be part. They wanted him to kick the injury settlement down the road,
right,
and he was unwilling to do that. I don't think they wanted to tamper with the contract. It's like, let's have a better so we don't have to make a decision so quick. He seemingly was unwilling to do that. But
we
like you said, Stephen, they did win the five-game winning streak.
Okay.
Let's see what Russ has to bring to the table. But
answer here, Shannon. This from you, and then we're going to bring in Andrea Carter, get into some basketball. Who do you think's going to be the starter week one? Is it Russ or Justin?
Russ.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought I told you that to start off my soliloquy. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's what I thought I told you. I thought I said that.
I mean, that must have been like 12 minutes into you talking. So, sorry if I missed
it. We didn't come on until 10:02.
It's a lot to cover. All right. Well, you can take a breather right now because we're going to lean on Andrea. Undefeated South Carolina is the top overall seed. They're looking to become the 10th women's basketball team to go undefeated. They had a chance last season before falling just short against Caitlin Clark in Iowa. In the Final Four, South Carolina and Iowa are the 2-1 seeds in the Albany region. On the Portland side, USC, led by star freshman Juju Watkins in Texas, make up the 2 top seeds. South Carolina are the odds-on favorite at ESPN Bet to win it all at -140. And here she is, Andrea Carter. Hey, girl, how we doing?
Hello, fantastic. What?
Hey.
There's so many good things to talk about right now. I'm so hype. I'm excited. And it's great to hang out with you all, of course.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Okay, Andrea, let's dive right in. Who's the biggest threat to South Carolina?
The biggest threat to South Carolina is South Carolina. There is not another team that is a threat to South Carolina if South Carolina plays their best basketball. The issue with South Carolina is there have been times, their head coach Dawn Staley talks about the standard. There have been times where South Carolina gets off to slow starts. They don't play up to their standard individually or as a team. Say they're settling for jump shots. They're not taking good shots. That is when South Carolina, to me, is the most vulnerable. If another team is going to knock off South Carolina, they're going to need some help from the Gamecocks. If they're struggling to hit shots, that is probably the biggest thing. In that game against Tennessee, I'm going to give Tennessee a little bit of credit here. Tennessee hit 8 threes. South Carolina hit 2. South Carolina still went on to hit one more at the end with Camila Cardoso and got the win. So you know South Carolina's living right because stuff like that doesn't just happen for anybody. But if they're not taking great shots, if they're struggling to hit shots, taking bad ones, that's where I think South Carolina is vulnerable. Their biggest threat is themselves.
Well, Andre, I don't disagree with you because, I mean, that woman Dawn Staley is something spectacular. We all know this to be true. But if you're going to point to somewhat of a problem with them scoring, is it somebody like Caitlin Clark in Iowa something to be worried about considering the fact that she led the nation in both scoring and assists? They lost in the national championship last year. They've got the horses to possibly pull it off and get back to that kind of situation this go round. What about them?
Well, Caitlin Clark is a threat to everybody with the way that she can cross half court. She might not even have to cross half court before she could knock down three-point shots. So she is a threat. My issue, Stephen A., and here's the thing. I don't know what the committee was dealing with or had going on when they set up these brackets. South Carolina is the number one overall seed. They earned a slightly easier route. Iowa's the number two overall seed. Their region is the most difficult region. So Iowa and Caitlin Clark, they'll of course be a threat to South Carolina because the way Caitlin can go off and create magic on the court is something we have never seen before. But Iowa's got to get there first, and I've got some concerns there. So yes, I hear you, Stephen A., but when I'm looking at this bracket in this region, again, I don't know why they decided to give Iowa this difficult of a path, but they've got to get there first.
Yeah, South Carolina has to use their size. They have Cardoso. They have a couple of guys, a couple of young ladies that are probably six. I think Cardoso is 6'7". They have another young lady that's 6'4". And they probably need to play inside out. The thing that Iowa and USC has is that they have two young ladies that can go get their own shot. Juju Watkins can go create her own shot. She's Caitlin special. Clark can create her own shot. And so South Carolina needs to move the ball, play inside and out. Now, they can get up and down with that young point guard they have. She was sensational. But I agree with you, Andrea. If South Carolina plays like South Carolina, they're going to be very difficult to beat because there's very few teams that can match up with them size-wise. They can dominate inside. Now, if they start hitting shots, it's good night, Irene. But that's the thing. And you know in an NCAA tournament game where it's one game, it's not a series, it's one game, and there is no tomorrow, anything can happen, and nerves can get the best of you. Now, South Carolina has been there and done that. But, it's going to be hard for me to pick against South Carolina, but with these two young ladies, Juju Watkins and Caitlin Clark, that can go get you 30, can go get you 40. In a women's college game, when two females can go off like that, all bets are off.
You know, honestly, Shannon, one of the best things that could have possibly happened to USC when you talk about Juju Watkins was they won that Pac-12 tournament where Juju Watkins struggled from the field. I mean, it was Mackenzie Forbes who popped off for 26 points. They had to step up and get that win for Juju Watkins. So even having her on the floor, watching her other teammates step up and put points on the board, that was really impressive to me. The issue with South Carolina is they bring in Mileja Fulwiley off the bench, who just won the SEC MVP Player of the Year, just signed with the Curry brand. So it's the depth of South Carolina. Yes, Juju is amazing. Yes, her teammates stepped up for her when they went on to win the Pac-12. But South Carolina's got players that could rotate in, and it could be anyone's night on any day.
Can I see that bracket again? Are those teams really in Iowa's bracket? LSU and UCLA, LSU, all of those are in their back bracket.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's where I was going. This, I don't understand this. We're in television right now, all right? You gotta appeal to the audience and box office. Me, Shannon, me, Andrea, here's the deal. I'm making sure LSU, the reigning defending national champions, by the way, led by Angel Reese, 28-5 on the season, just damn near got in the fisticuffs with South Carolina. I'm making sure them, South Carolina, and Iowa are nowhere within the vicinity of each other so I can have the possibility of all of them being in the Final Four, okay? That's what you're talking about. Theater. I don't know what these committee members were thinking by putting Iowa and LSU in the same bracket, but I want to ask you this, Andrea. We haven't talked about LSU enough. They are the reigning defending national champions. Yep. Why are we not doing that?
I don't know why we haven't talked about LSU enough because, listen, when it comes to this LSU team, you mentioned Angel Reese. She's got a right-hand woman who she gives credit to named Anissa Morrow, who is just as much of a beast.
16-10 again.
Angel Reese and Anissa Morrow, they are incredible. They combine for 35 points and 20 rebounds. So keeping that dynamic duo at bay is going to be a tall task for anyone. And then LSU's three starting guards, that's Flaje Johnson right there, big foe is what they call her. The three starting guards combined for 40. This is a high-octane scoring team. My issue with LSU is their depth. If they get last-tier Poa back, if Michaela Williams is healthy, she's a freshman who can score. If they've got full health, LSU is a dangerous team. They have so many weapons. And to go back to the bracket, Stephen A., that right side of the bracket where we just saw all those teams, just to make a comparison that I think this audience would understand, the right side of the bracket is the Western Conference in the NBA. There are so many contenders. There's a small margin of differences when it comes to those teams. Anybody could win it. Anybody could take somebody out. It's the Western Conference. That's what it is. That is the right side of the bracket. I don't know why Iowa's over here or why LSU. Somebody should have been moved to the left side, but this right side is insane.
No, that's a great analogy. Andrea, let me ask you this. You think Iowa and LSU meet in the Elite Eight?
I do think I have them meeting. As I look here at my bracket, I have Iowa and LSU there. But let me just say, Iowa's got to go through a Kansas State team that they split with in the regular season. Yep. Kansas State beat Iowa by 7 at home. Iowa went on to beat Kansas State at a neutral site. Both teams have gotten better since then. That was early in the season. So Iowa's got to face a familiar opponent, potentially, if Kansas State gets through. Iowa could also face Colorado. The Pac-12 has been crazy. Colorado is a really good team. Iowa kicked Colorado out of the tournament last season. So there's a lot of spiciness here. I do have Iowa and LSU meeting. But again, Iowa's got some tough, as if Caitlin Clark needed a bigger chip on her shoulder, as if Iowa needed more motivation. The committee gives them this region. They've got some tough ones to get through, but I do think they meet in the Elite Eight.
Shannon, let me jump in here one more time, if you don't mind. Andrea, you know I'm a homer. I know there's
three seeds. I knew it was
coming. I'm just curious. All right, I get it. It's not their year. But what do you think the ceiling is for UConn?
Molly, here's my thing.
Tell me.
UConn, there's a chance if Paige Beckers is lights out and Aaliyah Edwards plays that dominant game and the two freshmen step up and play really well, Ashlyn Shea, KK Arnold, they could maybe get to a Final Four. Their ceiling for me is an Elite Eight. The Elite Eight is the ceiling. I think those two freshmen, they're great, but they've been inconsistent. Paige Beckers and Nika Mule are great ball handlers, but to me, they need one more consistent scoring guard. They need one more guard that can just go get a bucket at any time. So for me, I have UConn at the Elite Eight. They might have to face an Ohio State team that broke your heart last season when they forced 25 turnovers for UConn. That could be a tough one. So UConn ceiling's the Elite Eight. A surprise would be the Final Four. I wouldn't be surprised for the Sweet 16 if they get bounced.
Molly, I think the mere fact that UConn is the number three seed, when we've only ever seen them as one and two seeds, kind of lets you know that this is not the UConn of old. They don't have the same. And I think one of their best players ended up going down with a knee injury early in the year. Now, if they had her, they're getting to the Final Four. But because they don't. And so that's one of my concerns with UConn. But I don't count Coach Orema out. He knows how to coach. He knows how to get his teams ready to play. And I think with the LSU thing, I thought they would have a better record than 29-5 is nothing to sneeze at. Yeah. But when you bring all your young ladies back and you get the transfer from Louisville, I just thought they would have more of a record like South Carolina. Maybe they meet and they split 1-1, one win on one side, the other win in the SEC championship. I'm surprised they lost as many games as they did and some of the margins in which they lost by.
I want a rematch with LSU and South Carolina.
I also want
LSU. I want to see them against Caitlin Clark again. I want to see what happens. And I'm afraid I'm not going to get the kind of stuff that I want.
Andrea, I feel like there's so much excitement around this tournament in the women's game right now. It's just been incredible. There's so much star power, so many storylines. So can't wait for it. We're going to let you roll. Thank you for breaking it all down with excellence, as always. What's your final four picks?
My final four. Oh, this one was tough. I debated for a while because I knew I was going to get asked this question all day long. I've got South Carolina. I've got Texas. LSU. And USC. Okay. I've got Juju leading her team out of their region. I have LSU. We mentioned Angel Reese and Anissa Morrow, that dynamic duo. Texas was my sleeper team a couple weeks ago, so I'm going to stay consistent. I know sometimes people come on here and switch up their takes. I'm going to stay consistent with my take
Someone
when I look at this bracket.
The show. All right,
it's been
Andrea,
a while.
So much fun having you on. We'll be talking to you again a lot soon. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Time for a quick take. With Giannis out versus the Suns, it was Dame time. Lillard went off with 31 points, 16 assists to beat the Suns with KD, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal playing. Stephen A., was this more about the Bucks or the Suns?
To me, it was more about the Suns, Shannon. They can't stop a cold. And when you got Frank Vogel, who's the head coach, you're head coach in the NBA because of your defensive prowess. In Indiana years ago, ultimately with the Lakers when they won a championship in the bubble, now you're in Phoenix. Kevin Durant scoring 11 points. Everybody's making a big deal about it. That's an aberration. 35 years of age, your brother's averaging 28 a game. Let's pump the brakes. It's an off day for him, an off night. Grayson Allen had it going on. Bradley Beal had it going on to a lesser degree. Devin Booker had it going on. The issue was you couldn't stop Dame time. You couldn't stop. The Milwaukee Bucks. I'm looking at Dame. He had 31. I'm looking at Middleton. He had 22 in his game, in his first game. Bobby Portis had 31. You couldn't stop anybody. That's the problem with the Phoenix Suns. That's why we don't have high hopes for them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Stephen A. This was more about the Suns. You cannot lose a game when one of the two best players in all of basketball isn't on the court. You got to beat Milwaukee without Giannis. Right. And you let Dame go crazy 31-16. You let Bobby Portis have a double-double with 31 points and I think 13 rebounds. That is unacceptable. You've got to win this game. And this is why it looks like the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Suns will all be in the play-in.
Amen. That's what it is. And by the way, Shannon, you know what that means. It's possible that they could be out. You're literally talking about two of those three going to be out. Whether it's Steph,
right.
LeBron, I mean, think about it. It's possible.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in the association, guys, how about Kyrie Irving? He called game last night. Kai scored 24 points, 9 assists with the two most important points at the buzzer to hand the Nuggets the loss. Luka Doncic had 37 and 10, but after the game gave all the praise to Kyrie, saying that guy is special. Dame Lillard agrees and decided to pay some respect to Kyrie in a post saying, Kyrie is the most skilled ever. Shannon, what's your opinion on this? Do you feel like Kyrie is one of the most skilled players you've ever seen?
Yeah. When you look at his ability, he's a 50-40-90 guy, can shoot 50% from the floor, 40% from the three, 90% from the free throw line. You look at his handles. We've had some guys that can handle the ball from Rod Strickland to Isaiah Thomas to Jason Williams. Nobody can handle Pat the Rock like he can. And when you look at his ability to finish at the rim with either hand, the way he can kiss the ball off the glass, he can spin it like this, or he can spin it like that, the up and under, the fancy. What people don't realize is that Kyrie Irving, the only thing he does right-handed is shoot a basketball. He's left-handed. But the mere fact that he shot this shot like this, and he's going through Ramadan, which he's not allowed to eat or drink anything from sunup to sundown, and to play that kind of minute and to keep his mind sharp, I can put it to you like this. We've all been in situations where we've been thirsty or we've been hungry, and we know how irritable we get. We know how frustrated and how we lose focus. Now imagine trying to go play an NBA basketball game against the greatest of the greats, and you have to maintain your focus, and you have to go out and do what we're asking you to do on a normal day. Kudos to Kyrie Irving, but I've never seen anything like Kyrie. A guy that can create a shot at any angle, that can shoot the mid-range, can shoot the three, great at the free throw line, and finishing at the rim. Tell me somebody that's ever been better than Kyrie Irving finishing at the rim, right or left-handed.
I have nothing to add to that. Kyrie Irving is a magician on the basketball court on the offensive side of the floor. What can he not do? And you just look at him. I mean, when I think about people, they constantly have brought up Allen Iverson, the answer. I covered him for the first 10 years of his career. We know how mercurial he was, a miniature dynamo going into the land of giants and handling his business like the warrior he is. He'd even concede he didn't have this kind of skill set. He couldn't shoot the ball from the perimeter like Kyrie Irving. He damn sure couldn't handle the ball like Kyrie Irving. And Allen Iverson was a marvelous ball handler, okay? Kyrie Irving is nothing short of spectacular. It's beautiful to see us talking about his greatness on the basketball court rather than other stuff. By the way, we've been marveling so much at Luka, who spent some parts of this season averaging a 35-point triple-double. Kyrie Irving, ladies and gentlemen, is averaging 25.4 points per game on 49% shooting from the field, 41.5% shooting from three-point range, 90% from the free throw line. This is who he is. This is what he brings to the table. And when you look at him, I can't help but fantasize about him in the postseason, him healthy, Luka healthy, with the Mavericks now having a bit of size at their disposal, all right, with Gaffney acquiring him before the trading deadline or what have you. You're looking at that, Shannon. Yesterday against Denver, they out-rebounded Denver 60-37. They had 22 offensive rebounds. Maybe that's an aberration, because we certainly don't expect to see that happen against the Denver Nuggets. But I got news for you. If Dallas can do that in terms of rebounding and making sure they can play big in terms of offsetting teams having a rebounding advantage against them, look out. Look out. Because offensively, you know what these brothers can do.
Stephen A., this is why Golden State went out and recruited Kevin Durant. Because that Kyrie Irving, we had started to see that Kyrie Irving in Cleveland. And you pair him with a 7-8 year younger LeBron James than what he is right now. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to see them no more. Because remember, the first championship, Kyrie got hurt in that first overtime of game one. Kevin Love did not even play.
That's right. That's right. That's you're absolutely right. And we've got to remember, it ain't just about starting to see him. Kyrie closed the deal by hitting the three over Steph to win the championship. Mm-hmm. So that's when they went out and got Kevin Durant, because they knew you got Kyrie with Kevin Love, with LeBron in Cleveland, and you don't go out and get Kevin Durant like Isaiah Thomas told Draymond. That dynasty, it would have had a different narrative. Y'all wouldn't have won those next two titles.
S.A., let me ask you this. Who's the scarier duo right now? Is it Luka and Kyrie or Jokic and Murray?
I'm going to go with Kyrie and Luka, the scariest. I didn't say better. I know Jokic and Murray are better, but Kyrie and Luka, when you consider what they're capable of doing, Shannon, how the explosion that is that evident, it's imminent from game to game. There should be nothing that's more scarier than that. Because when those two get rolling, you can't stop them. There's no defensive scheme. There's no answer for them, what they bring to the table. It's the epitome of going like this. This is what separates the superstars from everybody else. You know exactly what I'm going to do. You know when I'm going to do it. You know how I'm going to do it. What you going to do about it anyway?
Mm.
Two dudes that are capable of sending that message to you is Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic.
But I will say this, Stephen A., I feel Aaron Gordon got a little lazy yesterday on that Luka 3.
Fair.
He got to fight harder.
Wide
I'm not going to.
Wide open.
Yes! I'm a scared. No, bro, I'm not finna let you get that shot easy.
Right.
I'm a hug up. I'm gonna do everything I possibly can. Now, if I run you off the three, you lay it up, and now we play. Okay, you foul me. I have to make free throws, but I'm not letting you get that three off, Stephen A. I can't do that. No, I felt he got a little lazy on that play.
Too much space, too open.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The men's NCAA tournament bracket is set. Make sure to fill out your bracket on ESPN.com. Stephen A. and I are filling out ours as we speak. You remember how that turned out last year? I got a great pair of shoes. We should have a friend again. The UConn Huskies will try to defend that title as the number one overall seed in the tourney. Yeah, you hear that, Shannon? Number one, baby. Houston, Purdue, and North Carolina round out the other top seeds. Let's see what the sports books are saying. Okay, UConn is your favorite to win it all at ESPN Bet as well. Smart money. Houston and Purdue are next. But then it's the two seed Arizona, which is ahead of one seed North Carolina in the West. I'm going to take my seat.
What's up,
and,
y'all?
And get educated over here.
What's up, what's going on,
All right.
What's up?
Stephen A. looks like he's back to that backcourt position.
No.
How are you doing, guys?
I'm doing good. I'm on with the
any better, I couldn't stand myself. Look, I got to be with the little brother I never wanted. I'm fine.
Are you still doing? Are you still getting your steps in?
He's always stressed out.
Seth,
Shannon, did you hear what he just said? The little brother he never wanted. That's what he just said.
That's like you and Shannon.
That's what he said. That's what he said. Now, I love big bro Unc. Excuse me?
What do you think you are?
I'm not your little brother. I'm your big brother.
Yeah, that I never wanted. There we go. All right, Seth. Do you like UConn's chances? Seriously, this isn't a homework question. Right. Like, they're the best team.
They're not a homework question, but it is homework.
Yeah, but do you like UConn's chances to repeat?
UConn's the best team in college basketball. They've proven it over the length of the season. Everyone's getting all caught up about the bracket. Oh, the bracket. They got the toughest bracket. I talked to Danny Hurley yesterday into the city. You know what? The way Danny Hurley works, this is a perfect bracket for him because he doesn't care about the next game. He only cares about what's in front of him. Plus, it gives him a cause.
Okay.
Danny Hurley lives for a chip on his shoulder. He needs a cause. His team, the most connected team in college basketball, play fast, play slow, play in the post, play off the perimeter. This is fine. They are the best team in the country. Now, look, it's hard to win it back-to-back, but they're built for this.
It's fine to say they got the toughest bracket, though. It is what it is. I mean, never has a number one seed had to beat three conference tournament champions, yet alone in their own region. So Illinois, one of the hottest teams in the country now.
Right.
Iowa State just smacked Houston by 30 points in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, what was that?
That matters. What the hell's going on with that?
But here's the deal. When you get to the second round, you're playing someone good. You get to the third round, you're going to play a team that's won 30 games, that expects to win. It's all about identity. If you can impose your identity on a game, like you say, Iowa State, they can impose
their identity. Can Iowa State win a championship?
Can Texas A&M impose their
identity? Can Iowa State win a championship?
No, because they got to go through UConn.
But they were in another bracket. You might pick them to go to the Final Four. If they're going against North Carolina, you might pick Iowa State.
Look, when Iowa State used to play, it's armed combat. It's like it's a violent game. They don't play basketball. They play a violent basketball game. I think the big question for the Big 12 is how the game is going to be officiated, because the Big 12 is the most physical game league in college basketball.
Yeah.
But in the NCAA tournament, so how will the game be officiated?
I got UConn coming out, but I think the road is tough.
I think
he played against FAU and SDSU. They were in the Final Four last year.
Right.
I said you got Illinois, you got Iowa State, you got Auburn that plays 10 guys. They won the SEC championship. It's okay to say they got a hard region.
Coming out, you mean winning it all, or are you just?
Oh, I got UConn winning it.
I got UConn winning the national championship as well. But Shannon, go ahead, get in here, Shannon. What's your thoughts?
Man, when I looked at it, I was disappointed because you look at North Carolina, they get NC State and they lose by 10. And we look at Iowa State beat Houston, who was the number one seed, and they got beat by, like you said, 30. And everybody was getting, I'm like, well, hold on, what is going on? See, that's a red flag to me. I don't know how you guys, Jay, you and Coach Greenberg, I don't know how you look at it. But it's really disappointing to me to see some of these teams that we thought was going to be better, especially conference, because everything else had gotten moved out of the way. The Duke had gotten moved out of the way for North Carolina. And you let your guard down and NC State beat you. And you see Arizona get beat. You see Houston get dismantled. So that's concerning for me. So I think by elimination, I would have to lean toward UConn because they were the only team that we expected to be where they are that took care of business once they got to where they needed to go.
Reach.
Yeah, but here's the upsets in the conference tournament. They're no different than the rest of the season. All season long, we've seen ranked teams beat by unranked teams. All season long, guys have had a hard time of validating wins. This is just a microcosm of what the tournament's going to be, except one or two teams will separate themselves because they're more consistent and can validate wins.
I'm looking at the South region here. I've lost. Maybe Houston can make up for it. There's just a difference between losing and getting your ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
They got their ass kicked. Like the Houston Cougars, man. I went from thinking they had a shot to win the national title to just looking. I looked at them and I'm like, Lord. I mean, this is kind of beats down where you end up punch drunk and you don't necessarily recover until months later. I think that's what Houston has suffered. I'm looking at the South region here. Jay, I need your help on this. I'm looking at Texas A&M.
Yep.
I'm looking at Texas A&M. Listen, I've never had that much faith in Duke this year. I never had that much faith in them. Wasn't surprising me at all that they lost AC in the ACC tournament to North Carolina. Wasn't surprising to me at all that I'm not to North Carolina, but they lost an ACC tournament. They lost the season finale to North Carolina. Wasn't surprising to me at all. I don't like what I've seen from them. Looking at NC State, you had a good season, stuff like that, but they got to run into Kentucky. I got to pay attention and stuff like that. I'm just looking at some of these teams in the South region, and I think to me, it's the weakest looking region, to be honest with you, because I think Houston, who is supposed to be the creme de la creme in that spot, I think they might get taken out in the second round.
Which one seed has the easiest path?
I would go with Purdue. Okay. I would say Purdue and down the Midwest. And here's something just for us to think about.
Yeah.
Because we keep talking a lot in college basketball, doing NBA with you guys, and coming down doing college basketball, doing both. We always talk about legacy and what that means. So I look at people that have been two-time National Player of the Year, right? Or three. Bill Walton, Ralph Sampson. I know Ralph Sampson never won a championship, right?
Right.
But we could have a situation in which we have Zach Edey, back-to-back National Player of the Year, who has never been to the second weekend of the tournament.
Wow.
What are we going to say that means for college basketball?
That's an if.
That is an if. There's pressure on Purdue. You got beat by 16.
What do you say about college basketball? I don't understand. What do you mean?
So, like, I know it's his individual legacy. Award, but, like, Zach Edey's legacy.
Right, right.
Back-to-back National Player of the Year.
Right.
You're in the same category with Ralph Sampson.
Yeah.
Or Bill Walton.
They are built for this stuff.
I said that last year.
I'm just saying it's a top storyline. Mm-hmm. Brady Smith, Southie. I'll tell you what, the number four seed in their bracket, Kansas, is not a four seed. Talk about getting run in their conference tournament.
Yeah.
They're down with Hunter Dickinson. They're down Kevin McCullough. Even if those guys come back, they're not going to be 100% healthy. That bracket is opened up for Purdue. As long as their guard play is solid, Purdue's good.
Before we get Shannon back in, I got to ask this question. They're a fourth seed. But this is Kansas and Bill Self, what we're talking about here in the Midwest. We said Purdue. We talked about how easy that region seems.
Mm-hmm.
Do we just dismiss and ignore Kansas?
Right now because of their injuries. I mean, their injuries are four seed. That brings up an interesting thing because Bill Self's a four seed. They get run in their conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
No one says anything. Tony Bennett doesn't call a timeout at the end of the NC State game. No one says anything. Rick Barnes gets run in their conference tournament. Kelvin Sampson gets run in airtime, so no one says anything. John Calipari gets beat, and the world is coming to an end. They people treat John Calipari and Kentucky differently than they treat anyone else. You know what I just
said. I knew this. Here it comes.
I just poked the bear.
One and done.
Hold on. Shannon, hold on for a second.
Oh, boy. I knew I'd poke the bear on that one.
John Calipari and I go back to his days at UMass when I was covering Temple, for crying out loud. I love the man. But as much notoriety as he gets.
Such a victim.
As much victories as he's had during the regular season and stuff like that. The man has won national championship.
Yeah, he's underachieved, coach.
Underachieved.
He's a victim.
He has.
Definitely.
You got number one Carl Anthony Towns. You got number one Anthony Davis. You got number one John Wall.
Well,
you got
Tony Cousins.
You got Devin Booker. You got one title?
You won a title with Anthony Davis.
Come on, bro.
Just to let y'all know, they are starting a campaign to fire John Calipari in Big Blue Nation. I'm not saying they should fire him either. They should not fire him, but every game he is trending.
Yeah, they're not starting.
And their fan base.
Let's be easy on this here.
No. I'm not saying they're firing him at all. That was not one.
And they should.
Every game is trending. That's what the fans want.
Go ahead, Shannon. Jay Will.
Coach Greenberg. Are you saying John Calipari, with the level of talent and the number one overall draft picks and the top 15 players that he's had come through in the last 10 years has not underachieved?
No, I agree with you guys both.
I disagree because the culture of college basketball has changed. Last 4 years, I'm going to take the last 4 years. How many freshmen have impact in the Final Four?
Not a lot.
College basketball is going to get old, stay old, all right, retain players, go into the portal, get older guys. Look, John Calipari's got some of the best freshmen. Don't
respectfully, that's not answering Shannon's question. Because the bottom line is this. The adjustment that is made, he's paid to make the adjustment. Shannon's making a – listen, I love John Calipari. I love him to death. But the
Why do we judge him?
How many national titles does Bill Self have?
He's got two. He's got one more national championship.
All right. By the way, just to add to you and Unc's argument right here, I say, Rob Dillingham, Reed Shepard, two lottery picks coming off the bench.
Here we go.
Coming off the bench now.
Yeah, they're coming off the bench. You know, and look, lottery. Those guys are really talented. Really talented. But you know what? They better guard the basketball or they're going to get
puts a lot of pressure.
I have more questions, but you guys are coming back. I got to get in a quick commercial.
Oh, you got to go. Okay.
Yeah, see? Unfortunately. See? You guys are getting us all fired up right now, especially
Shannon's
right. You know what you did. Stir that up.
I stirred up.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.